It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Okay, my next guest, Rob Jawless. Rob Jawless is a sought-after speaker and best-selling author, teaches, entertains, and inspires audiences worldwide, drawing on more than 30 years of experience to teach people how to change minds. His keynotes and workshops on influence and persuasion are in global demand, including companies in North America, Europe, Africa, and the Far East. He's written a handful of books, including 3 bestsellers translated in over a dozen languages. Named as one of the top 10 business books in 2014, his newest book, How to Change Minds, has appeared in USA Today, Investor's Business Daily, and countless other outlets. Rob Jawless, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Pleasure. Nice to be here.
All right, so let's talk about this. It seems like, getting people to change their minds is actually a very difficult thing in most cases. I mean, people tend to fear change. Most people tend to stick to their opinions. So what will I, as a reader, walk away from this book? What are you hoping that I learn?
Well, let's transition from your previous interview, because I love something that you ended with, so let's start with that. Your author mentioned why versus how. I've spent almost 3 decades telling people, here's how we persuade people, here's how we influence, here's how we do it ethically, and yet I'm not so sure I did such a good job on the why. And not everyone walks into a typical training session. People don't always walk in going, don't want to be here. There's a corporate climate, so we're there. I think that, needless to say, if I'm working with a bank or a wirehouse, I don't have to go into the why a whole lot. But I think one of the biggest things you need to do is you need to sort of diffuse this emotion around that there's something wrong with changing somebody's mind, that there's an ethical breach in some way. There isn't. And to me, it does start there. You've got to go through the ethics of it. Why do we do it?
Yes. No, I think that's absolutely correct. I think that, we are all in relationships, and sooner or later, you're going to have to talk your buddy, your friend, your spouse, your partner into changing their mind.
Exactly. And you said something that also really made my ears perk up. Sometimes I can spend 2 or 3 hours teaching a module on objection handling, but fear of change, it permeates every industry. I mean, yes, right. I work in the financial industry, but I work with doctors and nurses and hospitals and hostage negotiators and polygraph examiners, and it usually comes down to whatever's bothering somebody. Maybe it's a cigarette in their hand, maybe it's alcohol, substance abuse, not studying, whatever it is. Most people are fully aware that the problem exists. The issue is they just don't see it as a big enough problem to address. So what we do is we get into, let's just nickname it for the sake of this conversation, the live with it stage. It's actually in the book we call it acknowledge, meaning if I trust you and like you, I'll admit to you that, in fact, our business isn't being run the way I'd like it, or I'm not parenting the way I want, or whatever that given issue is. But at the same time, I'll immediately throw in, but I don't want to make any big changes right now. And therein lies the problem. That's the sweet spot. And what are we typically taught to do? If I was gracious enough to tell you, I have a problem, I'm just not so sure I want to fix it, we are trained like Pavlov's dog to say, I'm going to give you 6 reasons why we should fix it today. And we're going to give that terrific features and benefits and solution, and we lose them right there, Bert.
Yes. No, I totally agree. Absolutely. It just, their eyes glaze over.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, there's a chapter in one of my other books called Teaching People to Fail, because there isn't an audience. I was just in front of Toyota last week in Dallas. There isn't an audience that I've gotten in front of in decades where I haven't asked, how many of you have been sales trained? Hands go up. How many of you have been sales trained at least 10 times in your life? Hands go up. And so people feel like, gosh, we're learning this over and over. It's they keep training us, but it's not sales training. It's not persuasion training. We keep teaching people product training, and
yes.
then we expect them to be able to have a conversation with somebody about it. One of my biggest failings in my career, and I'm going to have to hand the baton off to the next guy because I'm coming down the home stretch, but I've tried for years to get typical continuing education departments and programs that are in place to recognize that if you really want that financial broker or that lawyer, whoever it is you are requiring to take continuing education, why can't there be at least one program that deals with communication skills? The fact that, in fact, I'm not ashamed of the word, I'm proud of saying the word, persuasive skills. They're going to be ethical, but people fear change, so all this wonderful knowledge is going to be of no use to them because they'll never hear me.
Right. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is your book for everybody, or is it just for professionals or salespeople or, you know, leadership or managers?
Okay, well, I can tell you this, but I would never tell my publisher, because you'll never get a book published if you tell them it's for everybody, because they don't know where to put it in the bookshelf. Write that one down for all those who are listening who want to write a book. But the reality is, of course it is. There's a cat and a mouse on the cover. We took off the dollar signs. We got rid of buy this book and we'll make you $1 million. I have parents that come to my programs. I have the most eclectic group of people you can imagine. Imagine, because tell me something, who walking down the sidewalk right now wouldn't benefit by learning how to take an idea, put it in somebody else's brain, and make them feel as if they thought of it? So tell
right.
me a scenario in business or at home where that isn't of value. You know,
Bert,
real fast, but I created a case study in one of my books that was called To Clean a Room. You know, it was right next to the one of, you know, to get $1 million investment, but to clean a room. If it's my idea and I bully my child, that room will be clean while they're resenting the conversation. It'll be done halfway, and it'll be twice as dirty in the morning. I'm in the business of wanting the room. I want it to be your idea, and I want the room clean today and tomorrow. So we have to stop bullying children, spouses, and clients into a solution and really help them to problem solve and find it for themselves, much like a therapist.
Yes, but you know, and what you said there, for everybody listening, that is a true persuasion artist, ninja, Jedi master. When you are able to instill this thought or instill your thought and have that other person believe that they came up with it and buy into it, that's the ideal scenario. And what happens, and you've probably seen this more than probably anybody, when this scenario happens, because it happens so infrequently, the person who, quote, came up with the idea wants credit for it and will now start an argument about who started with the idea. And again, this is, you know, it's an ego trip. And if you want to do it successfully, you just have to be quiet. When that other person that you persuaded into thinking that your idea is their idea and they come up with it, you just have to say, hey, good job, let's do it. Am I right? Or what is your thought on that?
100% right. And now, if I'm listening to either to both of us, I'm getting a little bit nervous. So let me tell you the tagline under that title, How to Change Minds, The Art of Influence Without Manipulation, because we're on real thin ice right now. And a lot of times I'll poke an audience and ask them, so what's the difference? What's the difference between influencing someone and manipulating them? And as an author, I'm allowed to make up my own answer. Then I write it down, and then we copyright it, okay? So
right,
I'm going
right.
to tell you my answer to that question. One word, intent. Intent, meaning
yes.
the process actually doesn't change. But if what I'm trying to get you to do, Bert, only serves me, then I'm manipulating you. But if what I'm trying to get you to do can have you put that drink down or finally start that investment. I was an insurance salesman. Two people called me in 4 years looking for insurance. And the second person I got smart, I even said, what did the doctor tell you today? People struggle making certain decisions. If we can show them a way, to help somebody that will benefit that individual to change their mind. Yes, I will get my hands dirty. I will ask questions that may very well disturb you. But you know what? I'm going to save you from wrapping that car around the tree and maybe taking another life with you 2 years from today. So am I manipulating you or am I influencing you? I'll do it ethically. But I think we have to stop being afraid of the fact that some people need our help. And burying them with features and benefits on products is not going to help them.
That's right. That's right. And I also want to add this. I want to ask this question, speaking of asking questions, and that is, do you want to just be a salesperson or do you want to be a person of influence, right? And that's really the difference, because the salesperson can go out there and tell you all the features and benefits, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, do you want to be able to influence, as you've talked about, your children, your spouse, your boss, maybe your the people around you that you have the most impact on? Influence is a vital art form. And again, I want to emphasize what you said. When you're doing it for their benefit, not just yours, that's when that's when it's a real easy thing to do or decision
yes.
to make.
Yeah. Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. I wrote something I call a blarticle once. It's a blog article that I trademarked, but it was one of my favorites, and I've written for 6 years, and it was titled "It's Not Mean, It's Merciful." And because some people think, gee, the conversation that we're trying to structure here might make somebody feel badly. And, you know, sometimes when people really struggle with change, I do have to start asking questions of, well, what happens if that doesn't work that way? And what impact is it going to have over here? And how will that affect your retirement? And what are the consequences in terms of here? People don't laugh and sing while they're answering these questions. But like I said, I have the belief and the knowledge that what I'm doing is not mean. It's the most merciful conversation you're ever going to have. And that's why, remember how we started this conversation? That's the why. In the book,
yes.
Believe me, I take two-thirds of the book and I'll tell you how to do it. But I think we need to sit down and patiently get somebody over that fear of taking an idea, putting it in somebody else's head. I don't want to sell used cars. We're not selling mattresses or cars. What we're trying to do is understand that this is an extremely ethical approach to problem solving and helping those that you truly love and care about. And that's what it's there for.
I love it. We're going to end on that note. Rob Jawless, thank you so much for stopping by. I'd love to have you back again and talk more.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Guys, great stuff. Great takeaways from all of our guests. I really appreciate Rob's slogan there, right? It's not mean, it's merciful. A lot of things that we do in life might be tough, but they certainly are really tend to be more on the merciful side versus the mean side. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.